You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Here's what we do know about what happened in Iran 3 weeks ago. We do know there was a massive explosion at a missile testing site near to Tehran. We do know that at least 17 people were killed, including the head of Iran's missile program. The rest of it seems to be kind of up in the air. We're joined now by David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can hear him every Monday on New York Public Radio's WQXR's The Washington Report. Good morning, David.
Morning, Celeste.
So you report that American officials say this was accidental. Iran officially declared it an accident, and yet on the streets of Iran, many people are talking about sabotage.
That's right, and, you know, it possibly is sabotage. You know, there are all kinds of ways it could be sabotaged. It might be sabotaged by the Israelis. It might be sabotaged by dissidents within Iran. But this is a assembly plant and testing plant for solid fuel missiles, and there have been known to be accidents in such plants even in the United States over the long history of the U.S. Missile program. So it's not inconceivable that this was just something that went terribly wrong.
So how damaging is this to Iran's program for long-range missiles?
That's something that Bill Broad, my colleague at the Times, and I spent some time trying to dig into. And it seems to be pretty damaging, and here's the reason why. The Iranians, until now, have largely used liquid fuel missiles, which is similar to what the U.S. used back in the 50s, and the Soviets did the same thing. The problem with them is that the fuel is volatile, and it takes a long time to fuel up a missile, so that before you launch it, you have to go through several hours of preparing it. A solid fuel missile can go longer ranges reliably, but it also can be launched instantly. And for that reason, it's of a greater deterrent effect for Iran. It's their way of saying to the Israelis or anyone else, if you mess with our nuclear sites, we can launch right as soon as that begins.
So, David Sanger, does that suggest that the U.S. intelligence officials believe these missiles were only for a deterrent capability, that they don't represent an advanced offensive capability in and of themselves? And is there any sense that you and your colleague William Broad were able to determine the magnitude of these missiles, you know, which would give some indication of the range? Does the explosion tell us any of that?
The explosion doesn't tell you that, John. All missiles, including those in the American fleet, serve a dual purpose. They have an offensive purpose, and, of course, they've got a deterrent purpose. So those are not contradictory to each other in any way. From the best estimates that have been put together by outside missile experts, there's a group in London that's done very good studies of the Iranian missile capability, the best of their long-range missiles could probably reach Greece, southern Europe, some beginning to approach into central Europe. But they haven't been tested at that range yet. And the effort here, it looks like, was probably to put together a lighter missile that could be launched more quickly and more reliably. Now, if you believe that the Iranians are trying to design a warhead, a very disputed point, that would fit atop one of these missiles, then obviously this is the kind of missile that eventually could have nuclear capability. But no one seems to think the Iranians are at that stage yet, though they might want to be.
Although this is just one story among many that's kind of testing the waters, trying to measure the capabilities of the Iranians, the other story that you cover in your piece is the Iranian claim that it shot down an advanced U.S. stealth drone. U.S. officials, you say, confirmed one drone is missing. But in this case, if the Iranians shot it down, does that mean they have access to our technology?
Well, if they have what they said they have, which is an RQ-170, which, for those who follow this may recall, was the drone that hovered over Osama bin Laden's house in Abbottabad and was never detected by the Pakistani air defenses, then they would have a significant piece of technology. That RQ-170 is at least the version that was used in Pakistan, was covered in all kinds of stealth hardware to keep radar from seeing it. Now, the Pentagon announcement and the announcement that came out of Afghanistan said that they lost a drone and they did not identify the type that was in western Afghanistan. Well, of course, that's got a border with Iran, and that they'd been looking around for it, and that maybe what the Iranians were referring to was that. You got to take all these kind of announcements with a bit of a grain of salt. If, in fact, the U.S. was running a drone into Iran, it's unlikely it would have been run by the military. It probably would have been run by the CIA for all sorts of legal reasons that you probably don't want me to go into now. But it is interesting the U.S. didn't say we have no idea what they're talking about.
All right. Well, then let's go back to the story of the missile testing site that exploded 3 weeks ago and the loss of the head of Iran's missile program. Which is more damaging to them, his death or the loss of this technology that went up in the explosion?
Well, presumably they lost material they were working on and lost a facility, but they know how to do the technology, or they know where they were, so at some point they'll rebuild that. The scientist who was lost, or engineer who was lost, was a very senior member of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, ran the missile program, but we didn't know very much about him. What was interesting was that when they held the funeral for him, the supreme leader of Iran, Supreme Leader Khamenei, showed up at the funeral. And that gave us a sense of how central he must have been to the entire effort.
And so, therefore, a symbolic loss as well. So what do we make of these stories of sabotage that you say are coming even from Iranian officials? Is there going to be yet another backlash against the West?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of sabotage that's gone on in the program before, and of course there have been assassinations of Iranian scientists. So it's not unnatural that the Iranians would suspect this. But, you know, they may not know. They may not know if this was an accident or sabotage themselves.
And it appears that the American officials don't know either and don't seem to care all that
much.
Or
if they know, they are not saying.
They're not saying.
That's right.
There you go.
David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. You can download his weekly Washington report by visiting our website, thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you, Celeste.